This is Diana Previs. Welcome to Happy Gut Healthy Lives. Today, I am so excited because I have Joette Calabrese, who is an international homeopathic consultant, author, educator, and sought-after speaker. She is an honorary board member of the Weston Price Foundation. She authors a 9-year running column in their International Quarterly Journal and is a blogger who treats readers to her homeopathy secrets. Welcome, Joette. So nice to have you here today.
Oh, thank you, Diane. It's my pleasure.
I really am excited for you to educate everyone on what homeopathy is. But first, I'd love for everyone to kind of listen to a little bit about your journey and your history. So would you share with us a little bit about your background and how you got started?
Certainly, sure. Well, I started at 6 weeks old. I was pretty healthy. And then at 6 weeks, I got an ear infection. And it was probably after a vaccine. I don't know for sure. But it was around that time. And my parents took me to a pediatrician. I got an antibiotic and then another ear infection and another antibiotic and then another and another. And shortly after that, I developed eczema. And we're not talking about little, you know, little patches of eczema at the flexors of the elbows or something. We're talking about eczema that was blanketed. I was completely covered with it at many times. Other times it would recede a little bit, but for the most part, I was covered in it. That was about 14 years that went on. And then when I hit puberty and around teenage years, things shifted a little bit, as they often do around that time for many girls and boys. And I then went into stomach pains. And meanwhile, of course, anytime I had another ear infection, of course, because the first antibiotic didn't cure the ear infections, it just kind of kicked the can down the road. And so I was given more antibiotics. And upon being given more antibiotics, then I had gut problems and I had stomach problems and constipation and anxiety attacks. And from there, I went into my 20s. And during my 20s, I kind of had a little bit of a grace period, which is not uncommon for a lot of people. Most people in their 20s think that they're invincible. And I didn't quite think that because I had suffered a good deal in my childhood and early childhood. But it was a pretty comfortable time until I reached about 29 or 30. And at that time, I started to get some urinary tract infections. And again, in came the antibiotics. Well, shortly after that, basically, I crashed. I think my immune system just said, okay, I give up. And I started to become chemically sensitive and couldn't eat many, many foods. So many foods I could not eat that the list of foods that I could eat was 8. Not 8 foods I couldn't eat, 8 foods that I could eat. And so my life became myopic and secluded. I had been very involved in community organizations, had been on the board of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra and professional organizations, and I had to leave those organizations because I simply could not withstand perfume around me or eat the meals that everybody else was eating, and I would be thrown into asthma and gut problems that were more severe. And so I dug. I kept digging. You've got to have tenacity to get through something like this, particularly back then. We're talking about the 80s, early 80s now. So at that time, I went to health food stores. In those days, it was all about vegetarianism and supplements and vitamins. So I did that. And I went to see many people who were alternative in the alternative world, who were using supplements and vitamins. And I did that for a while. And I come from a big Italian family, and many of my cousins are doctors. And they all wanted to help me. And they were not able to do so. They sent me to their colleagues, and every colleague simply met me with another prescription. And as Dr. William Osler, who was one of the founding members of Johns Hopkins, once said, the person who takes medicines must recover twice, once from the disease and once from the medicine. And that was me. It seemed as though I was sick to start, and the drugs were making me sicker. And they were causing more and more conditions to develop, and they were becoming more and more chronic. I was no longer working. I wasn't able to work. I was that sick. And I finally went to a lecture being offered by a medical doctor who also was a homeopath. And he, I believe, studied in England, where homeopathy is still very rich. And I went to a lecture that he gave, and he was talking about how homeopathy meets every human illness with a homeopathic medicine or two. And after going to many lectures by many speakers on the subject of holistic health, this was the first one who totally resonated with me. It was as though a light bulb went lit up above my head. And that day, I purchased my first homeopathy book. It was written for the lay public. And I bought a homeopathic kit, which had about 29 remedies in it. Still didn't know how to use it, didn't know what I was going to do with it, but just decided I was going to learn. And I was still suffering. This doctor, unfortunately, was not taking cases. So I dug around and asked if anyone knew anyone who was treating homeopathically. And I found this woman who, again, also had studied in England. And she was about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from my home. And I went to see her. And she gave me a homeopathic medicine called Nux Vomica 200. And within about, and I can't remember exactly because we're talking about 1981. But in about 2 months, I was about 60% improved. I had never been improved at all.
Let me ask you something. So were you having severe gut issues at this time, and that's what she recommended?
I was not able to eat most food because if I did, I would have asthma. I had chronic fatigue. That was just a given. But it would encourage asthma to become bigger and more looming. So I had constipation. I had some bloating. And there was no doubt that food had something to do with this. Or let's put it this way, the gut had something to do with this. And Nux Vomica is a very powerful remedy that's specifically used for people who have had lots of drugs, especially antibiotics. And I had my fill. There's no doubt about it. I had been taking medications for years. So it had gotten me to the point where, even though my 20s were my grace period, after having a couple of urinary tract infections and meeting them with antibiotics each time, my body just gave up and said, no more. The gut can't handle it anymore. No matter what you eat, this is what's going to happen from it. And so from that one medicine, which I took daily for a while, but it was only one, I was then able to start adding foods back in. And it took about a year before I could start adding gluten and dairy in, but at least I wasn't reacting to tomatoes and oranges and fruits and even other vegetables, cabbages and broccoli, etc. So slowly I came around over a period of about a year or two where that 60% improvement was a delight to behold. I would have been happy even being there. But it continued to the point where now I'm 66 and I've never felt better in my life. And I was told, as many people know who have been in the medical world, that allergies are progressive, asthma is progressive. It doesn't just go away. It's managed by drugs. The symptoms are treated with drugs. But to have it cured, astounding, delightful. And on top of it, it was polite. And what I mean by that is that this homeopathic medicine and others that I've used since that time and when I work with clients and when I teach this in my classes and for free on my blog, these homeopathic medicines don't slam you into submission. They gently stimulate. They're polite. There are no side effects. They simply slowly, especially when it's chronic, slowly uproot the condition. It's a promise that doesn't seem possible in our world today. But it is available. Now, in North America, homeopathy has been suppressed because, remember, we are in a market square. But every major city in the United States had at least two homeopathic hospitals. And I mean large, stalwart-type hospitals, big, important hospitals. In my hometown of Buffalo, New York, we had three. And the most important hospital in the area was a hospital called Buffalo Homeopathic Hospital. But that was only up until the 1940s. Because just around the 1940s, something monumental happened in our world, in first world countries. And that was the advent of antibiotics. And everyone thought that antibiotics were a panacea. You've got a pimple, antibiotic. You got rheumatic heart, antibiotic. You got otitis media, conjunctivitis, strep throat, antibiotic. And so now they've been so overused that now we have chronic gut conditions. Now, some people are born with chronic gut conditions. There's no doubt about it. But then look at the timeline of the parent, because it's very important what the parent was given, what kind of treatments they were subjected to that would have changed the flora of the mother's birth canal, for example, so that when the baby comes down the birth canal and gulps in the microorganisms, it's gulping in the correct microorganisms, not those that have been tinkered with by antibiotics. So this is this is a bold gesture, what I'm describing here. Because what I'm saying is that antibiotics are the cause of a lot of gut conditions. Crohn's, food intolerances, chronic constipation, gut dysbiosis. I could go on and on. GERD. Chronic diarrhea, colitis. If someone looks at their timeline, and that's what I urge folks to do when I teach my courses, and this is not about teaching courses. I want people just to know about homeopathy and just spend some time on my blog because it's free. And I give lots of free tips on how to get out of this or that by using homeopathic medicines. But I urge folks to get a sharp pencil with a good eraser and a long sheet of paper and start laying out your timeline. And I say a pencil with an eraser because it's likely you're going to not get it right. Gee, I had pneumonia 4 years ago. I wonder if pneumonia could have caused this. Well, let's find out what was the treatment for the pneumonia. What do you know? Antibiotics. And then I had that time when I had that ectopic pregnancy and I had to have surgery. And what did they use after and before? Antibiotics. So I'm not saying it's only antibiotics, but the jig is up. I think it's mostly antibiotics.
Yes, and I've worked in my career with working with cancer patients. I would always ask them about their timeline before they got sick. What was their life like? And every single one of them would have a very stressful situation. So stress being the number one compromiser of the immune system, and then you drag drugs into treating a symptom. You're so interesting, everything that you have to share about your experience. So when you made this bold gesture, and especially coming from a family of physicians, I'm sure that was a little difficult to be at family gatherings when they wanted to tell you something different. How did you, with your kids, with your family, how did you actually raise them after your experience with what you went through?
Well, by the time I had my children, as I said, I'd been brought to my knees with my health. And I decided I would never allow this to happen to my children. And I knew that there could be a compromise of their health because mine was so poor. But by that time, I was feeling better. I was moving out of this. I'd been taking homeopathic medicines via this wonderful lay practitioner from England. And I was moving along nicely. And I very much wanted to have a family. So I made a decision. It's sheer pig-headed determination that I was not going to take my kids to a pediatrician. End of discussion. Wasn't going to go. And because my understanding, and I should also mention, in my 20s, I failed to mention this, I was married to a neurosurgeon for 7 years. And so I knew the world of medicine. And I was at Georgetown University, Northwestern University, and during all of his training, I was right there as his wife and picked up the message that is given to doctors time and again. And I was not impressed with the message. Now, don't get me wrong. I think modern medicine has a very important place in society. I think diagnostics are invaluable. I think surgery can be life-saving if it's necessary, often unnecessary, but if it's necessary. And emergency care, super important. You know, if I've been hit by a truck, I would hope somebody would get me to an emergency room. Where modern medicine fails, in my estimation, is chronic care. And I believe that it often starts in the pediatrician's office. Because the pediatrician says, oh, a fever? Oh, Tylenol, an antibiotic. Really? Really? Why would you give a child an antibiotic who has a fever? Why'd you even give him a Tylenol? What's wrong with a fever? Fever's good. Fever's curative. Even the American Academy of Pediatrics admits that. But for some reason, no one else is listening. They actually say it on their website, or they did last time I looked. It was a couple years ago. But last time I looked, they say, it seems as though fevers are curative. Well, homeopaths have known that fevers are curative for the last 250 years. It's now just coming to light that a fever cooks up the body, heats it up, makes sure the child is hydrated. Mind you, that's the danger, is the lack of hydration in a feverish child. And let that fever cook off that virus. And on the other side of it, lo and behold, what I observed, not only in my own children, but many times my students and clients report to me that the child, let's say it's a 7-year-old child who gets a fever, and the child is having difficulty riding a bike, for example. I can't ride my bike. Everyone else can. I can't do it. Then they get sick. I mean, within days, they complain. It's like they're going through the eye of a needle, and they push through. And on the other side, after being sick and being left to get sick, allowing them to be sick, because it's a natural process for children to have childhood illnesses. On the other side, guess what they can do? When they get well, a week later, about 4 days later, they get on their bike and they can ride down the street. It's a developmental thing that is, I believe, robbed. Now, some people might think that's absolutely crazy, but you ask your grandmother about that kind of stuff, and I'll bet she'll remember that there's a developmental shift when a child is allowed to have an illness and not being given an antibiotic, which in the long run can readily cause gut problems, chronic, lifelong gut problems. I would say that the way I teach this is not just what do we do now, because I do teach that too. I have a whole course called Good Gut, Bad Gut, not unlike similar to the name of your seminar here. And I teach people how to undo what these antibiotics, or otherwise, perhaps it's not antibiotics, you know, it could be inheritance or whatever, how to undo that. But if you take that on and you want to learn this kind of stuff, you must also be in the ready as a parent. Or even if your children are grown or you've never had children, you must be in the ready, because I guarantee an infection is coming down the pike. Of course. This is the earth. We get infections. And if we are not prepared with which homeopathic medicine to use, or to be prepared to allow the fever to blossom, cure, and finish, then all the work the person's done uprooting the condition of the gut problem will be put back five big giant steps, because antibiotics will be employed again. So
It's twofold. It is twofold. And so I want you to keep going on this with people that have suffered from gut issues. And you talked about moms and grandmoms. How can they get the skills that you developed so they too can treat these simple gut issues with homeopathy?
First of all, I have to tell you, it takes guts, spunk, and moxie. And I think that it's something that can be developed. You're not necessarily born with it, but you can develop it. And sometimes it's hard to have that when you're facing an illness, or your child is facing an illness. So that's why it's important to learn what you can and become armed. This is, how do I put this? I believe that the family is the most important structure in our society. It's a pillar that we need to have intact. And the mother and father are at the helm, and that healing belongs in the hands of the mothers and the grandmothers. Doesn't mean fathers don't get involved. Certainly, they can learn this. When I teach my classes, I teach thousands of people, and I will tell you that every once in a while we have a dad who joins in, which is great. But more often than not, it's the moms, because that's what they do best. They're the nourishers. They're the ones who prepare the foods from scratch. They're the ones who seek out the foods from the local farmers and for grass-fed meat, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the ones who are deeply steeped in that lifestyle. That structure, I believe, has been eroded away in our society for many reasons. And one of them is that we have given up our understanding and willingness to learn about our health and our children's health to the world of modern medicine. And again, I will repeat, I believe modern medicine has a place. But a well baby checkup? Really? Do you not know that your child is well? You can't tell? You can't figure that out. You can't look at your child and say, wow, looks pretty good to me. I'm looking at the other kids. Yep, looks good. Or, my child is ill. What can I do? Well, I tell people, if you see an ear infection in your child, go to my blog, joettecalabrese.com. Click on the blog and put in the little search bar. Well, use synonyms. At this point, our blog, we'd love to have it more tightly organized, but use ear infection. If ear infection doesn't show up, use otitis media. Same thing with conjunctivitis and eye infections. And look it up and read the article, and there is the remedy. Exactly what remedy, what potency, what frequency. Click on it. It takes you to Amazon or to Boron, a pharmacy, a homeopathic pharmacy from France that's very big in the United States as well. I don't get any payment for this. I don't get any payment for my sending people to these places. My blog is free, and I mean it's completely free. And then it works. Shoot me a statement or an email through my blog and let me know, because I love to hear about the successes that folks have. You know, my children are adults now, and what I love about what I have put in place in my life, and I know that lots of mothers will understand this and grandmothers, is that I am important in their life, of course, because I'm their mother, but I'm also relevant. I have remained very relevant because my sons actually live together and they have a cat. When the cat gets sick, I get a text. Mom, the cat's sick. Mom, what should we give the cat? Or, Mom, my friend just came over and he's got a cut. What can we do? What do we have here? Because they've got all the homeopathic medicines. I've stocked their medicine cabinet. Mom, I've got I feel really feverish. I'm getting a cough. What should I take? So I'm there at the ready, and I love it. I love it. I will remain relevant into my old age. As long as I have my mind, I'll be able to tell them what to do.
Well,
that gives us purpose in a totally different way. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm a mother, and I get those text messages myself, although I don't have the massive knowledge that you do of background. But I want to jump back to some things that you had touched on about in your early childhood, and I think the listeners really need to be aware of things that they may not know could be related to their gut, that, you know, problems that they're having. And you mentioned allergies, for one, are the result of gut problems. And through this whole series, I've learned autism is related. And, of course, colitis.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of really open people's eyes about what other conditions that they might be having could be related to their gut when they're not having like heartburn or gas or bloating.
Yes. The typical signs. Yeah, because there are conditions that seem remote and unrelated, and people think they're going crazy. How about anxiety? How about depression? How about insomnia? How about heart palpitations? That could all be related to the gut. In fact, more often than not, it is if somebody's got any inkling that there's a gut issue and they have these satellite conditions, it's very likely related. Now, could it be menopause? You bet. Could it be something else that's going on? Yes. But I urge people not to go down too many rabbit holes, because you'll get stuck in a rabbit hole. You could get stuck for years like I did. It took me 31 years to figure this out, to get to a homeopath. And I had allergy shots as a child. I'll never forget it. That doctor would bring in that tray. The nurse would bring in the tray. The doctor would follow. There were 16 shots in that tray, and I went every 2 weeks for years. Years.
I did too.
Oh, the pollen. Oh, this. Yeah. Now it's the wool. No, it's feathers. Oh, it's your dog. Oh, you can't have chocolate. You can't have this. You can't do that. Oh, for crying out loud. I never got any better. I never saw any change at all, nor did my parents. There was no improvement. In fact, if anything, I think it suppressed everything. It threw it again into the future. Just like Dr. William Osler said, the person who takes medicines must recover twice. Now, not only did I have allergies, now I had to deal with all of the injections. And what's in those injections besides the low level of pollen, et cetera? What else? What are the additives? What are the adjuncts? Scary stuff.
Well, that could be a whole other interview series on vaccines and everything else. But I want to ask you a question. Why do you want people to eat at McDonald's?
Oh, I did say that, didn't I? Here's the thing. I work with people who've been on GAPS diets. I don't know if you're familiar with that, if your listeners are familiar with it, and all kinds of very restrictive diets. And they've been on them for years and years. And they feel that some people are often helped by being very, very strict with their diets. But it's hemming. And it makes for, excuse me, a neurotic life. It's a horrible way to live. I lived it. I know what it's like. Can't eat this. Can't go there. Can't go to these people's house because they're going to use, you know, cheese, or they're going to, I can't do it. Got to bring my own food. It's embarrassing, socially ostracizing, horrible. What I want is people to be robustly well after using homeopathy, uprooting. There's the verb, uprooting the condition and allowing them to be able to eat anything. I can eat anything now. Remember, I only had 8 foods. My husband and I go out to dinner once a week. We travel. We go to India every year, 8 years in a row. We stay in hotels. We travel in airports. I bring some food with me. I bring some nuts and maybe some hard-boiled eggs and an apple. But that only goes so far when you're traveling 2.5 days across the globe. And I don't worry about it. I don't even think about it. But it used to be that's all I thought about. It's all I talked about. It's all I thought about. It's all I did to source my foods, to make my foods, because I thought it was the food. And to be honest, very, very unusual for it to actually be the food. Food can instigate. It can cause trouble here and there. It's not the raw materials. It's the factory. It's the gut that's been brought to its knees by previous treatments. That's called iatrogenic disease, disease caused by treatments or by drugs. So I want folks to be able to say when they're driving from, you know, the north to the south in the middle of the winter to get away for a little while with their family and get away for a week and get to Florida or Louisiana or something, and on the trip down and the parents have got some food stacked away and the kids eat it all up and they're starving. Mom, Mom, McDonald's, McDonald's, can we have McDonald's? Yes. Not, oh, no, oh, no, we would never eat that. No. True health is freedom. Now, I would hope that if I go into your refrigerator and I look there and I'm so bold as to open up your refrigerator, that I'll see things like kimchi and sauerkraut and kefir and kombucha and homemade stew and lots of vegetables. And that's what I would hope to find. But if you're stuck on the road and you've got kids who are starving, you want to be able, because everyone is well enough to be able to eat a McDonald's from time to time.
Right, right.
You see, because
life
I work,
happens
because
while we're making plans.
Right, right. So because I've been involved with the Weston Price Foundation, and I don't know if folks know that organization. It's a non-for-profit nutritional organization out of Washington, D.C. It's international, and people come from all over the world, and they've got lots of research in their archives, and it's based on Dr. Weston Price's works, who died in the 50s. I won't go into his works. That's a whole nother world, and we don't even want to dip our toe into that quite yet. If anyone's interested, just check it out. But because it's a nutritional organization, and I've been involved for so long, and I've written this, I've authored this column for their journal for the last 9-10 years, people contact me through this organization, and these are the folks who eat perfectly. And when I say perfectly, I mean they have their own gardens. Of course, they're organic. I mean, who wouldn't do that if you're going to have your own garden? They buy their meat from local farmers, and they meet the cows before they're slaughtered. They meet the cows before they pick up the milk. The cows have names. So these are family farms, and people are buying from community sustainable agricultural organizations, and they're sourcing their foods and taking a lot of time making that a priority in their lives. And yet, they still have gut problems. They still have anxiety and heart palpitations every time they have a tomato. And they still have diarrhea and bloody diarrhea every time they have a piece of cheese. So it's not the source. People say we live in a polluted world. I tend to not necessarily agree. I know it's politically incorrect for me to say that. But if you've been eating organically, your world isn't polluted. What is polluting your world is, oh, doc, thanks. Oh, yeah, I'll take that birth control pill every day. Oh, sure, let me put that in my mouth. Oh, you bet. Keep me from being able to produce the next generation? You bet. I'll take this for 10 years. That's pollution. It's personal pollution. And you paid for it. You didn't just inadvertently stand in the rain with acid rain pouring on you. You paid for it. And you said, thank you. So we have to, message is we have to rethink what we're putting into our bodies. Our bodies were never intended to take all this synthetic stuff. We're tinkering with Mother Nature and we're losing.
Yes, I do feel that, you know, we all pay the price going to something that's not natural within us. I could talk to you all day, but I know that you have to run and the show's at a close. But I really want all the listeners today to be able to have access to you. So you want to go to JoetteCalabrese.com, and I'm going to spell it. That's JoetteCalabrese.com. And you can get a ton of free information on there. And there's going to be a special page for the listeners on this line. It's going to be JoetteCalabrese.com/HappyGutHealthyLives Summit. So Joette is offering a free download to get started on how to address gut conditions. And thank you so much for that. And as you put it, not treat gut conditions, but uproot gut conditions. So thank you so much for being a part of this today with us and sharing your knowledge.
Thanks for having me, Diana. It's been my pleasure.
We will have another episode of Happy Gut, Healthy Lives. Stay tuned. Bye for now.